Welcome in to Real Kipper and Bourne. I am Justin Bourne. I am joined today by my boy, Sammy McKee, sitting in for Nick Kyprios. How you doing, Sammy?
I'm well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. We are still live on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet Plus, joined today by technical directors Jake Schultz and Derek Brandale.
Yes.
All right. Got that part right. Oh, and as always, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. And right off the top, I'm going to do all the dirty work. Text us.
Yes, please.
590-590, the second half of the show.
Yes.
Sammy and I are going to take your texts. It can be on the Stanley Cup Final if you like. Mm-hmm. It can be on Sammy's hockey team of choice.
Mm.
It could be on golf. The U.S. Open's on right now. Yeah. J.J. Spahn, -5.
He made
18 of 19 putts inside 20 feet yesterday, if you want to talk about that.
That's really good.
Yes, but more than that.
Yeah. What a hockey game.
What a game.
What a hockey game. I'm having a hard time with this.
What do you mean you're having a hard time?
Because I think a lot of Leaf fans listen to the show.
Yeah.
And it is such an electric final.
Yeah.
And these are two unbelievable teams. But there are it's very directly connected to Leaf fandom and just because
this is always fun when you co-host, because then I don't even know what angle we've got off the top.
I just don't. I want to root for the Oilers, okay?
Okay.
I really do. But last night I went to the Kendrick Lamar concert in Toronto. Fantastic.
How was that?
I watched the game on my phone the entire time. I gotta be honest, it was a good concert, but I was watching the game the entire time. The game was so good. I'm like, I love this game. I'm gonna watch this instead. But I went out, I saw the tying goal right before, with 20 seconds left. And then I went to a local establishment with my wife, met up with some friends. And I went there and I watched the overtime at a packed Toronto bar.
Yeah, oh boy.
And, it's an electric atmosphere in there. There's some live band karaoke going on. People are fired up. The drinks are flowing, whatever. And Leon Draisaitl scores. And I got to tell you, man, the
roar.
Bar erupted.
Yeah.
And I was wearing my Leaf bucket, and I was disgusted.
Yeah,
I was a little bit upset. It's like this is I know the Canada's team. We don't want a team from Florida. So it's I want the Oilers to win. I think, but whatever result happens in this, it just disgusts me. But outside of that, one of the best hockey games. And if you're an Oilers fan, and if the Oilers go on to win this series, Borny, that game will be talked about for generations.
Yeah, we're showing the Draisaitl winner, the mustard he gets on a one-hand attempted pass. I know it's a mess, and we're going to get into that on the goaltending side of it and all that. But it is a pretty darn good play he tries to make. I will say, I have been, and this is going back about a decade, on team, you shouldn't root for another team just because it's Canada.
Yes.
If you're a Sens fan, you don't want the Leafs to win.
Yes.
Just because the couple come back to Canada. But we kind of crossed the threshold where it's embarrassing.
It is. That's fair.
And that's
part of the reason I'm doing it.
Whether it's late night talk shows or whatever, just the jokes about we always have the Stanley Cup, the Americans joking about having the cup year after year.
Yeah.
It's been enough for me to be, I have the other side of it too, where I grew up an Islanders fan and the first team that breaks the Islanders dynasty is the Oilers.
Yeah.
They meet them twice in the final.
Yeah, a lot of history between the two franchises.
And so I was grew up, I'm supposed to hate the Rangers and the Oilers. That's kind of the way it is. I've softened on the Oilers for sure. And I think, I've come to grips with the fact that ready for it to come back. So I was cheering for him last night.
Yeah. But a roar at a Toronto bar, it was a big pop. I was oh, God, that hurt. But what I will say,
fans love hearing that, by the way. Oilers fans love that.
If you're an Oilers fan.
Yeah.
And you just get, if you win the cup this year, which feels a lot more possible right this second with the momentum coming off that win. And I know Paul Maurice always says that the momentum between games doesn't exist, blah, blah, blah. But if you win the cup and you have that game four in Sunrise as the turning point of the series where you're down 3-0, it just felt like the cup, it felt like the Florida Panthers had that period, and they were going to win the Stanley
Cup. Foot on the throat, and they let him get up.
It just was over. Yeah. Like, they were listless. They had nothing. Apparently, Corey Perry stands up in the room. Leadership stands up in the room. They come together, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. That will be talked about for the rest of all of our lives. That,
yeah.
To get McDavid's first cup, if they can win it, like, to lead them on the way. And it wasn't even him that did it.
No.
He only had 1 point. He was a dash one in the game. It wasn't even him. It's Darnell Nurse scoring a goal for you.
Yeah.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins who comes through, and, of course, Draisaitl who comes through. But, you know, that's an amazing, amazing hockey game, and this series has been phenomenal so far.
I got to tell you, when it was 3-0 Florida, and going into that period, Pickard starts the second period, I thought about betting Edmonton. I hear you say a lot of people, it was over, it's Florida's whatever. The defining characteristic of this Oilers team is they're not dead. And just when everyone writes them off, just when you think they're done. Now, I will say, so I wasn't shocked that they got back into it. The one thing that bothers me is the Perry stood up in the room, fixed it, sort of like narrative that came out after
the
game.
We gotta be better, guys.
Well, it's like...
That's right! We can't have anyone freak out there,
how many times...
We gotta keep our composure!
How many times did guys deliver the compelling message?
Lose 8-0.
And then the other team's goalie just plays great.
Or you lose like 4 more going in.
Yeah. You know, like it's like last night you have... the Darnell Nurse goal, which pinpoint shot or whatever, but Bobrovsky's flat in his net rather than square to the shot.
No good last night, Bobrovsky.
No good. It goes up under him. You get a one-hander, an OT that goes in. Like, absolutely, I'm sure Perry and all those boys. But, like, the Oilers are trying.
Yeah,
they weren't not trying.
No, I know.
Prior to that. So, yeah.
Great observation.
I'm just not shocked that this Oilers team does it. But I do think it's noteworthy that it wasn't McDavid and that it did come from other places. And where it comes from with this Oilers team, that decor to me, they seem to be impervious to the we're done thing. They just keep playing the same way regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make plays.
Yeah.
Like Bouchard can score, Wallman rips a 1T, Nurse can
score.
Could he
have hit that harder?
I know. Like how fun was that shot? So cathartic.
Yeah.
And that to me, and you brought it, you know, the Leafs into the question, it's like you have to get some offense from your back end.
Yeah.
They get Nurse, they get Wallman. Bouchard's a top point getter in the playoffs for them. Mm-hmm. They generate from there. So when you're looking at the oil and saying, who else is going to do it? Often it's those guys.
100%. And you mentioned like the no quit thing. There was 3 different moments in that game where you could look back on and be like heartbreaking moments in the loss.
Yep.
Going down 3-0 in the first period. And then I'll point to the save that Bobrovsky made to keep it full. To keep it
on Perry?
Was that to keep it 3-3? I think it was to keep it 3-3, and Wallman ends up scoring, but that the toe save that he makes on Perry, and then giving up a tying goal to Sam Reinhart with, 20 seconds left, it's like, those are all little moments where, like, mental hurdles that you get over, and you still find a way to go in there. That was a sort of team of destiny kind of win where it's like, you're not supposed to get that one, and now that they did, going home, like, can you imagine what that building's going to be like on Saturday night? Greased up crowd.
Apparently what all of Canada's going to be like. We will find out more.
Yeah. The bar in Toronto will definitely be electric again. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, we're joined now by Shayna Goldman, national hockey writer at The Athletic and the Too Many Men podcast. Shayna, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We're just obviously talking about Game 4 last night. Love to get your takeaways on what you saw out of that game. That was great theater.
Oh my God, it was a banger. Yeah. I was very upset in that first period. And it's funny, like I tweeted like, oh, that's game set match. And it was funny, like as the Oilers started coming back, people are like trying to dunk on me. I'm like, I'll dunk on myself. No one's going to be happier than me that we have a game, right? Because I want competitive hockey. I want it to be exciting. I think the conference finals were pretty awful. Just give me drama. And oh my God, did we get it? Like, how could you be upset with 3 out of 4 games in this series?
Yeah, it's been a really incredible, just feels like the rivalry has really built to this point now where I guess Game 3 was a bit greasy with that kind of stuff. But now feels from here on out, Game 5 and on is when it really feels like that stuff starts to clean up and the stakes are so high. Like, what are you looking for from the Oilers after that comeback? Like, do you think this is one where they just roll now or do you think the Panthers can push back?
I'm sure the Panthers are going to push back. I mean, it's what they do, right? I would be very surprised if the Oilers went 2 straight, but I think the Oilers are going to know you cannot come into the game unglued like you did in game 3. And it's funny, you look around and see everybody talking about it, and some people are saying unhinged, but like the consensus word is unglued. And you couldn't find a better word to describe what the Oilers look like in game 3 from puck drop, right? Like it was the worst case scenario. So I think they know they need to keep their composure and continue on with business, right? You go from the Western Conference Final, and Connor McDavid gets interviewed. They go, what's different about this team? He felt like they were more on business. They're not as emotional. Well, you couldn't tell that in game 3. Yeah. So the fact that they found that again, like that to me is what I'm looking to see them be again here forward, because here's where the nerves could set in, right? You're in a better position than you were last year because mm-hmm. you're not down 3-0. You come in, you win a game at home, a game on the road. You're tied. Everything's great and wonderful. It's a new best of 3. So you're already feeling better about that, but you have to like maintain that and not get nervous now because it's so much closer than it was at this point last year.
The one thing that is strange is they're going to head into game 5 back in Edmonton, and we don't even know what goalie they're going to start, and they're both healthy. You know, a very tough situation to be in right now. What do you think they're going to do, and what do you think they should do?
I think they're going to go with Pickard. And yeah, I do. I think you start him until he tells you otherwise, right? Because had he not gotten hurt, he could have still been the starter at this point. Like, literally, who knows? It's right. A really unique situation because if you go back through past playoffs, and I know it's the rise of 2-goalie situations in the regular season, but once the playoffs hit, generally speaking, you have a starter and a backup, and that's it. And sometimes when you see a team, it's, oh, it's one guy's getting 60% of the starts. They're only getting through 1 or 2 rounds if they're rotating their goaltenders like that. Like, they're not doing that in the Stanley Cup final. So it makes it even more unique. We don't have past precedent, but we have the Oilers precedent from this year, right? We have what they've done in the postseason so far. And I think Pickard gave them a nice boost. I still would not be 100% in that decision. I think he made some excellent saves last night. I also think he comes very far out of the blue paint that I was like biting my nails watching him play last night. But I think he's the move for now. And then you keep Stuart Skinner there if you need him. It's not like it's going to be a long layoff, right? Versus what it was. Like, you're not missing 2 rounds of play if you throw him back in. It'll be a matter of a couple days.
Yeah, I mean, he is. He's 7-0 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, at some point where you mentioned it, it ain't pretty. It, like, there are lots of moments where he feels like he's way overcommitted, but he battles in there. I agree with you, Shay. I think it's a no-brainer to go back to him. And it feels like they responded to him so well. And the up and down nature of Stuart Skinner's game, it's scary at this point. So I think you definitely have to go back to Pickard. You're a Pickard guy?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, they want it to be Skinner, right? Like every time they have the chance to give him the chance, they go back to him. But I don't know. I think I'm a Pickard guy at this point.
So you're still undecided. You would still. For me, it's obvious. Would not even consider going back to Skinner.
Go back and watch that Matthew Tkachuk scoring chance last night, where 2 Oilers players, there's Nugent Hopkins and was it Ekholm? I forget who the defender was. Pickard's out in left field. I don't even know where he is. Yeah. And Matthew Tkachuk is right there. There's so much time for him to get back, and he commits even further out before even attempting, and there's 2 skaters trying to defend it, and they make a great shot block, great save. Yeah. But I think you can watch that over and over again and go, yeah, you know, do we want to play with fire? Like, I understand it's a harder decision than the 7-0.
It's like, you know, I often think, like, you know, we play road hockey and all the kids throw their sticks in the middle. If you threw all the players in the middle and had the GMs pick one at a time, they'd almost all take Skinner before Pickard, right?
I don't know.
You don't know? And fair enough, maybe not. After this series, you know, after this playoff run, that could be.
Here's a hot take. Maybe neither of them are very good.
Well, that's kind of what's crazy about this.
Yeah, I don't know.
How about we get some team defense? That commitment to team defense that made them so good against Vegas and so good against Dallas. Where is that, right? Because we're seeing the Panthers get everybody around the board so they can grind them out, and then they just drive right to the middle of the ice, and everybody's as frantic as it gets. So if we could get, like, I don't know, 6% better defense, maybe the goaltenders would be better. I'm not even asking for a miracle at this point, right? Like, just play a little better.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to get your thoughts on the Oilers' decor, because going into the postseason, I don't think many people would have been like, that's an obvious strength of theirs. You know, Ekholm wasn't involved, but these, like, offensive D-men who can move the puck and make plays have really been great for them. Klingberg, I know he didn't play last night, but he's had a good playoff, and, you know, so has Wallman and Nurse and Bouchard. Like, they've got a lot of puck movers. Is that something that other teams can look at and say, maybe we need to lean more on those dudes?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's always good to have. You want to have offense from the blue line. I mean, even the Panthers are getting it this postseason, and I don't think anybody expected guys like Mikkola to be jumping up and looking like Bobby Orr, right? Like, who's to say that was going to happen? But I definitely think it's a good thing to have because you want to have versatility on it. I think the biggest problem for the Oilers' D-core, when you look at earlier this season, is it was so stringent, right? Like, they had to play these pairs. This was it. These were the only combinations that work, and they have to be deployed in this such way. So when Ekholm got hurt, you know, now you have a problem. I think you add Jake Walman in there, and it just, like, unlocks this entire group, right? Because he could jump up and play with Bouchard. We know he's good. He's played with Nurse, and he's been fine. He could play on that second pair. He can be on the third pair and play with a guy like John Klingberg. He can be a source of offense from the third pair, which I think is a huge weapon, because you look at the bottom six of their lineup, and sometimes the bottom six of most lineups, right? Maybe for the Panthers, this is just a fourth-line problem because their third line's so good. You might not have a ton of good puck movers in the bottom six, right? So if you're playing with those third pair defensemen, there's a chance there's no puck moving from that, you know, bottom duo either. So if you're going to have that spark, like a Jake Walman, who's really good at breaking out the puck, it's going to make life a lot easier and help transport play into the offensive zone, where those grinders can kind of get to work and stay in the offensive zone so the next line can come out over the boards and be in a position to succeed.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with Jake Walman. And he's been a bit of a revelation for me because, I mean, yeah. I'm not going to lie to you, I wasn't grinding the San Jose Shark tape as much as maybe you guys were, I'm not sure. But, you know, I was more familiar with his gritties than I was with, like, his actual game. But speaking of gritty, like, his grittiness in general and just his ability to get in the other team's face plus his offensive upside and just seems like a real glue guy for the Oilers. That was an excellent pickup by Bowman, a really good guy to identify, and he's changed their whole decor, like you said, Shane. I've been really impressed with him.
Yeah, and he was really good in Detroit. I don't understand that
Stevie
move
couldn't use
day.
Him? That's a weird one.
Nope.
That's a weird
one.
And
to sell him for nothing,
yeah.
Right? Okay, take him for nothing. Here's a second-round pick for you to take him off our hands, and we're actually not going to do anything to follow. Like, I don't care what move you had lined up, that was still going to be the wrong decision, right? Mm-hmm. And then you see the Sharks get a first rounder, and rightfully so, because he was so good in San Jose all year, and he was so good offensively. The difference between San Jose and Edmonton is he's obviously in a different situation, has more talented players around him. Mm-hmm. But the other part of it is that he's not going to get those same minutes, right? When Ekholm was hurt, maybe, sure, but he's not going to get power play one in Edmonton, and he's not going to get, you know, top deployments either. And that's fine. Right? Like, if you have someone that could be a first pair defenseman on a bad team, and on your team, he's a third pair defenseman, like, you're doing something right. Like, your depth is deep enough for that to happen. It's like the same with Brad Marchand, right? In Boston, he's a top line guy. In Florida, he's a third line guy. Look at him cook.
Yeah. What a difference.
Slotted perfectly.
Well, and that's why you worry about signing Bennett, Marchand to some of these big numbers, you know, because if they don't have that protection, are they going to be that valuable? We've heard people say numbers like $12 million for Sam Bennett. I don't know where you sit on that, Shayna, but what is his value going to be when this season, this Conn Smythe run is over?
Yeah. I don't think we're even going to have this conversation because I don't think he's leaving Florida, right? No. He's going to sign a team-friendly deal, and everyone's going to go, oh, it's the taxes, and I'm going to lose my mind.
That's gonna be me. Not everybody, that's
no.
me.
No. I get it. I think it's more the lifestyle, the organization, the position you are with your chances to win. I think as a player, you look at it, if I'm in Sam Bennett's position, it's, oh, I could get $12 million to go play on the Ducks or Florida, where I know management will do everything and anything to win, right? And have me be a part of that winning situation. I'm going to go there, be in the sun, you know, have a family there, be by the beach. And, you know, sure, the extra money is great and wonderful, but you're taking a pay cut for more reasons than just the taxes, right? But I know everyone's talking about him like $12 million, $11 million. That's great and wonderful. If he were to hit the market, he's going to get a ton because he's a playoff player. He has skill. He has grit. He has bite. He has everything and more. And the center market is absolutely horrible. So all of that puts him in this perfect position to cash in. I just don't think it's happening.
Yeah, considering the what's out there, how good he's been in the playoffs, like, this is one of the greatest contract years in sports history,
maybe ever.
Like, truly, like you look back, I'm sure you could come up with a bunch of examples of ones, but just for all the stuff that you laid out there with the lack of players available, what teams
everyone
are looking,
has cap space at the same
everyone,
time,
like the cap's going up, what everyone's sort of looking for the playoffy type guy, having the NHL record in road goals in a playoff run, I'm not sure you could ever have a better contract year than Sam Bennett's having. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, we see this all the time, right? Like, people want players. It's so interesting to me because you look at, like, the Peter DeBoer of it, right? And everyone's going to talk about his game seven record and that he goes to the conference finals all the time. But it doesn't matter, I guess, to anybody in the narratives that he doesn't have rings. But for players, you get paid if you have rings. You have to be good in the playoffs and you have to have a ring. And Sam Bennett has both of them. Yeah. So add that to the entire situation you outlined. And, yeah, it's a perfect storm for him.
Rich.
Yeah.
Very rich, man.
Are we good to turn?
Well, I was just wondering, where were you going to go?
No, go ahead.
I was just asking about Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
Where, if I'm an Oilers fan, I'm very happy to be 2-2 after the way that game started. And the way he's looked would give me a little bit of hope. But I also know that his whole thing is that he can just tighten up at the drop of that. Like, for no reason, he just turns into an unbelievable, unbeatable force after feeling like he is a complete sieve and it's totally unquantifiable. But if I was a Oilers fan, that's what would be worrying me going into these next couple games, that he hasn't really stole one yet, and he always feels like he steals one in these series, and there's three left, and you need to win two of them. So that's, for me, like, I know he hasn't been great, but I'd be a little bit worried if I'm an Oilers fan that he's going to really lock in one of these.
Oh, absolutely. And look back to game three, that first period, like, the Oilers had some chances there and Bobrovsky was the difference. I thought he was incredible. And he's a reason why the Panthers were in the position that they were to start running away with the score. Like, it's different seeing, you're not going to calculate a stolen win when it's, you know, a 6-1 game, yeah, because then you need a GSAX that's over 5. You're not getting that. So it's a little bit tougher. But I think he gives his team a chance to win on most nights. I would expect him to keep doing that moving forward. And, you know, it's always interesting as series go deeper. I think it's going to be even more challenging to steal a win because, yes, he's stuttering the shooters, their tendencies, and I'm sure they've done a ton of scouting. Plus, he has last year's experience behind him. And, you know, you just have to play with the hand that you're being dealt. But on the other hand, it's a little bit different from saying, I'm going to scout 12 forward, 6 defensemen as Sergei Bobrovsky to try to assume what everybody's going to do, especially when one of those players is Connor McDavid and he's going to do whatever he wants and more. Yeah. Versus the entire Oilers team scouting him and his tendencies, right? You see two goals last night. The first two goals for the Oilers beat him up high, and they could go, okay, maybe that's a weakness for us to exploit, right? And there's a long history of Sergei Bobrovsky being hot and cold in the playoffs. So there's all of that information you can try to work with. That being said, as hard as it's going to be for him to steal a game later in the series, I won't be surprised if we get one or two low-scoring ones, because everyone seems to tighten up at that point, right? Like, everyone's holding their stick a little tighter if it's game 6, game 7. But then again, we also saw what the Panthers did in game 7 in round 2.
I was just going to say. I was like, it's going to be like, oh, you don't see a lot of high-scoring games. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that because the Leafs literally gave up an unconverted touchdown to them in the game 7 they played in round 2. So, yeah.
What's you know, interesting is you mentioned, like, Bob tends to steal a game somewhere along the way. But we also really haven't had the Connor McDavid game yet. Maybe, I don't know if you think we have.
Well, I mean, he's had, what did he have, 3 assists?
Yeah, one of the game? Like, he's been very good. He's been very good. But it still feels like he is someone who could be, have a night looming too. Last one on this series before I'll ask you a quick UFA question or two. Evander Kane last night, you know, penalties, benched for a chunk of period, dropped down to the fourth line. He feels like a guy they need, you know, or someone to play and be at his best. You know, what are your thoughts on the way he's played and these guys who have to try to walk this Sam Bennett line but can't quite do it as well as Sam Bennett?
Yeah, he is not the guy to do it. He never has been, and I'm not sure he's ever going to be at this point. You know, it's like, can you teach an old dog new tricks? And I'm not sure he has the tricks to be a disciplined player, right? Yeah. I feel like that's a major problem. He was rightfully dropped to the fourth line. Mm-hmm. So if that's not the wake-up call, I don't know what will be, because you can't afford to put him out there, especially in Draisaitl's minutes, right? It's like you're playing with one of the guys you need to just cook in the offensive zone. Look at what he does last night when, you know, after game 3, he gets no shot attempts, and last night he has the game-winning goal to tie up the series. You don't want it that you're going, okay, they're in the offensive zone, and you have no idea what's going to happen. You don't have that, like, trustworthy foundation. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he can find that line that I feel like he's struggled with for some time. If he can, that's a huge, huge deal for the Oilers, especially with Zach Hyman hurt, right? If Zach Hyman was healthy, I don't think this conversation would matter as much, because you'd go, well, that could make up for Ryan Nugent Hopkins not being 100%, and then you could throw Perry or Brown in there and Pod Colson and make it all work. But without Hyman, like, you need guys to play in the top 6. And I know there were some question marks about someone like Pod Colson playing in the top 6 after he had a rough game 3, but you see why he did, right? Like, he can be a dog without, you know, you watch him and you're like, he's a dog out there. That's what everyone needs in the playoffs, right? Like, he works so hard every shift. So You have that if you're the Oilers. You could throw him in the top six and see he's going to rebound. Kane didn't after a bad game three.
Right.
I don't know how much leeway you give him in game five. If he takes a single offensive zone penalty or a single first period penalty, I don't know how you give him minutes.
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah.
Scary as a coach, especially with that Florida power play. When
it's basically why Kadri got traded from here. You had a guy you just felt like you couldn't trust. And
yeah.
I know that's regrettable and a bad name to bring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. That, I never think about that at all.
All right. Well, let's do a little bit more, a quick UFA talk before we let you go. Right before we came on air, and I know you want to talk about this more a little bit after, Andy Strickland tweeted that Mitch Marner will not come back to Toronto. Everyone here is like, what do you think is going to happen? I don't know. Do you have some inclination what you believe will happen or what should happen?
I could see him going somewhere like Vegas, and I could see it being like Vegas throws Petrangelo's cap hit on LTIR, and, you know, maybe they move out Hague to clear out a little extra money. Mm-hmm. Maybe they keep Hague if they, you know, LTIR Petrangelo, and just figure it out from there. I won't be surprised. Vegas could use the help on the wings. I think we saw them a little bit exposed against the Oilers when guys like Hurdle weren't scoring, and you saw guys like Eichel were not at their offensive best because he had his hands full with McDavid. I think he did a good job in that matchup, but you need everybody else to score a little bit more. And I just think their winger depth has really taken a hit over the years to build up their centers and their defense. That would be fun, and I think it would be a heel turn of sorts because, you know, like the Vegas Golden Knights are kind of the bad guys in a way. But I think the true heel turn, which I'm begging for, I've been wanting to see from Mitch Marner for some time. You know, I love the puppies on his skates and all of that and more, but everyone's so mean to him. So mean to him when he seems like such a nice guy that I would like, I need him to like throw on a leather jacket and be like, all right, that's it. I'm going somewhere else in the division. Like I'm going to Ottawa, I'm going to Detroit, and you're going to have to see a ton of me, and you're going to have to face me in the playoffs, and I will be the one scoring the game-winning goal to take you out of here. Like, that's the drama I'm craving personally.
You might get what you're looking for there.
The one that I think if we're going heel turn angle, I mean, the Bruins have a ton of cap space.
Oh, right? That's ultimate, I think. Unless you went to the Habs. That might
You have too long till they're going to be like a playoff caliber team. Right. Mitch Marner and Pastrnak and McAvoy will be able to do a lot, but I feel like
the Canadians around, though.
Oh, my God. I do think where he ends up will be very instructive of what his, like, priorities are.
For
because,
sure.
like, if he ends up with Vegas or a Dallas or somewhere where he signs for, like, a decent number where a team that wants to win. But if he ends up in, like, Chicago or, you know, Utah or San Jose or just something like that,
I like Utah. I do like Utah because I think it's more than a money thing. I think that they have actual potential. Like,
but there's
no chance he's going there. I'm like,
no chance? Everyone has them near the top of the list. He's going to do something that people think sounds cool. Like Vegas sounds cool. LA is a cool place to live.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's just going to like slug it out in Salt Lake. Listen, I love Salt Lake City fine, but.
Hey, our close personal friend,
Ryan Smith. I checked myself a little bit there.
Yeah, it's easy.
Ryan Smith's our boy.
He can go to all the soda shops, have a great time. Then he's not going heel, though. I feel like if he's like vibing around in the soda shops with like a million pounds of sugar, like.
Feels like it might actually fit him.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time today. We look forward to maybe we'll have you on again after free agency, after Mitch makes his decision. We can chat about it then.
Love it.
Yep. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. That's Shayna Goldman, national hockey writer for The Athletic and of the Too Many Men podcast.
Yeah, so she did make a good point about Bobrovsky there about how in that game three, it wasn't a laugher until it was. And Bobrovsky did make some good saves in that to kind of keep that game close. So maybe that was his quote-unquote steal, but it still feels like.
Nah.
Even that game seven last year, he was really solid. I don't know. I just, if I'm an Oilers fan, that's what kind of keeps me up at night a little bit.
The thing is, the Oilers score on everyone.
That's
like,
true.
Like Vegas, L.A., Dallas, great defensive teams.
They light them up.
Florida's no different. Their goaltender is gettable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I don't know.
So can I ask you, Justin, as in our fourth year of doing this show together,
yes.
How does the tweet that Andy Strickland sent today about Mitch Marner leaving, our boy Strick, because knows a lot of people and he's very, very trustworthy in this situation.
Yeah.
How does that tweet make you feel?
Honest, a trust tree?
Yeah.
How it makes me feel? Oh, thank God.
Relieved.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, maybe that's selfish because we talk about the team every single day, and I just felt like we can't do the same thing anymore.
Yeah.
But also, that sentiment fans feel. Mm-hmm. We can't do the same thing anymore.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if they're going to be better. In fact, I'd suggest they probably won't be.
There's a solid chance they're worse.
Right. But at least there'll be some fresh blood and maybe some new energy,
yeah.
You know, something. And not that Mitch had bad energy and not that he wasn't, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just it needed to be something different. So great. They have some
emotional
emotional damage. They have some opportunity to do something now. And it feels like they've been stuck spinning their tires, and it feels like they got traction and they're out now.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel as a lifelong Leafs fan watching the Core 4 era come to an end? Today's day came to the end. We got an official tweet. He's not coming back.
Sad.
If we're trusting Andy Strickland, yeah. And on this show we do.
I do. I think it's just gone about as poorly as it could, having four guys with this much talent on the
team. The only worst outcome was a bunch of injuries.
Yes. Like, this is a, like I've said before.
They were too hurt to see it through or something. This was the worst outcome.
Like I've said to you a million times, like, if you simulate this 100 times, this is a bottom 10 outcome.
Oh, no doubt.
Of how this has played out. Yeah. And, you know, you just, 100-point, homegrown, Selke sort of nominee winger.
Like prime age.
And the fact that, like,
universally not wanted back.
Yeah, it's insane, man. Like, it's actually insane. And I'm not trying to be the guy that usually sits in this chair and, like, defend it. Like, say, I can't believe that everyone feels it.
The contract's just so bad just because, like, there's so many no trades and everyone had been so, you know, I don't say overpaid because they've earned their money. They've been good players, but it just really worst case scenarioed itself here. And I think LA, that's my honest opinion.
That's your guess?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much smoke around Vegas. Mm-hmm. Everybody that comes out with Vegas.
You know, I don't think Vegas is going to be that good.
No, eh?
I just think they're on the other side of the mountain. Age wise, that they're starting. Mark Stone's back's made of styrofoam.
But I feel like Marner's
Eichel's
kind of
also taped together, yeah. Gorilla glue.
I do think that Marner is sort of the start of like them trying to flip things over to younger stars.
No one could use him more. They have lacked offense, Someone like him is perfect to
get them to the playoffs and then lose in five to the Oilers.
Oh, I do think Marner's going to have some big playoff run.
No,
I do. I truly believe that.
I disagree.
He's too good.
I disagree.
He's like, not going to go as whole.
What's a big playoff run? Like a Draisaitl?
Yeah.
Like, no
like
way.
Like a Leeds playoff
no
in scoring.
Way.
Yes.
No way. No
Mark
way.
Mark it. June 13th. At some point, Marner leads the playoffs in scoring.
I can't see it. If it didn't happen here, playing with the players that he has, getting the matchups that he's gotten, like maybe he goes over to the West. And he gets a softer first round matchup as opposed to having played the Bruins or the Lightning or whatever that is. Maybe that's how it works
Buddy,
out.
He hitched his wagon to Matthews, who has been hurt in playoffs quite often.
Yeah.
Once he throws his hooks into, I don't know, it's McKinnon or I know I said LA, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
But it depends what stars he has with him, what the matchups are. The matchups here have been tough.
Maybe it's Pastrnak that he plays with.
Wow. I mean, that's a heck of a thought. You want to do game time on the other side?
Sure. We'll do game time on the other side.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When you come back, we're going to do game time. And please, text us at 590-590, and we're going to read those and talk about them so we don't have to talk about Taylor Swift. We'll see you in a minute.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Real Kipper and Bourne. We're going to jump right into game time, I think. Sammy, are we not?
Yes, sir. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So game five goes tomorrow night. Can I get on my schedule maker soapbox here?
Yeah, sure. It's pointless, but sure.
Why? Put the 3 days off when you're traveling trans at like
yeah
it's a long travel
sure
and like you know, they're traveling today, a game. Like, why not have it be the 3 days off?
It's got to be building stuff. It has to be.
But, like, you can't make a priority for the Stanley Cup final?
I have no idea. But it is going on a long time.
Anyway.
And oddly.
No, but, like, I don't mind it taking a long time.
Right. It's just
which
when
is, like, make it make
the breaks
sense.
Are, yeah.
Anyways, it's great to have a Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, game five of the Stanley Cup. What else could you want?
It's going to be on Sportsnet.
It will be on Sportsnet. I heard that.
Yeah.
The Oilers are favorites. In game five, they are minus 120. The Florida Panthers are plus 100, so not a ton of difference there.
Has Florida been decent on the road in the playoffs? Or?
I think they've really been decent on the road. I think they have this guy on their team, Sam Bennett, that may have an NHL record.
What's he got, 11 road goals
in the
postseason?
I think it's more than that, is it not?
Well, he's got 14 total, so pretty darn good.
I was just going to go here.
Taking plus money on that team on the road is pretty good.
And in that thought process, Sam Bennett, give me to score him, for him to score the first goal of the game tomorrow night
plus
1200.
So if you want
him at any time, it's still a decent number at plus 210 for a guy that scored a ton of big road playoff goals already this year for the Panthers. But give me Sam Bennett to score the first goal of the game tomorrow at plus 1200. And quickly, was just going to check in on the U.S. Open here. We have been promised a bit of carnage,
yep.
And it feels like we're kind of starting to get it here. The leader's at -4, not a ton of people under par. The favorite right now is Sam Burns, who is tied for the – oh, no, he's one back. He is plus 425, J.J. Spahn plus 475, and Scotty Scheffler, where is he on the leaderboard? He is still only 10-1, and I think he's +4, and the leader's at -4. So – Bet365 still has a ton of faith that he's going to go out there and put a 66 up there and get himself right back into the top.
I mean, look at the names on the leaderboard. So you think J.J. Spahn and Martin Lawrence is there going to...
Yeah, Martin Lawrence, I don't think that's Martin Lawrence.
It's a different Lawrence.
Bad boys is going to come out here. So yeah, I've been loving watching the golf. As soon as it goes into the grass, it completely disappears. So it's been a lot of fun. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
And I'll also remind people that The Hour is also sponsored by Bet365, brought to you by Bet365.
So, this is a text I got.
Well, hold on. Do you want to go right to text or do you want to do a couple things?
Oh, no, this text is about one of our things.
All right.
He said, I was so excited to watch the game last night, I actually turned it off as soon as I saw Taylor Swift on the screen.
Oh, grow up.
But he said, by the way, my name's Salty and you guys do a great job. So
thanks.
Do you still say grow up?
100%. I would say that to my best friends. Be like, how are you gonna let her affect your enjoyment of the hockey game? The world's biggest pop star is at the game and this upsets you?
Honestly, like, this is so embarrassing. But when I saw that she was there, I was like, oh. She's like, she likes her little thing. She's like, oh my gosh, she's watching our thing.
Totally.
Like, you know, like, it's a big deal to have them there. I'm sorry.
Like,
I know that
Panthers,
may be corny.
If the Panthers are going to win two games, would have liked them to be there for one of the W's so they could have felt the home crowd. But they did get the big pop with 19 seconds left, so they got to feel some playoff energy.
Mike from Bowmanville says, I think the scheduling is to accommodate Taylor Swift's schedule.
That, hey, listen, if we got to do that sort of thing, you know, I think the most crushing thing as a hockey fan is when they have, like, the all-star game, and they're like, who'd they get for the musical acts?
Mm.
And they're like, oh, they went long on the list. They made a lot of ass before they got to.
It's actually U2 tribute band.
Yeah, so, you know, having the large celebrities in attendance, it's a good thing.
Okay, got a question for you.
More attention.
Love the show, boys. Have a great weekend. What's Barney's tattoo?
Oh, yeah, this is, it's AA related. It's it's my sobriety medallion. It just has the date, my sober date, and FTGW, Feed the Good Wolf. It's kind of my, man.
It's badass, bro.
check the book out for more.
Okay. This is from Chris from Mount Pearl. We're going Leafs now.
Okay.
With all the cap space the Leafs will have with Marner leaving, what moves would you like them to make this summer? Do you bring JT back, and at what number?
So I'm of the belief that if you're going to make these bigger changes, make the bigger changes. Like, don't do the Tavares thing. Don't do the Marner thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Nylander, Matthews, Nyes, you have a pretty good foundation of three great forwards, a lot of money to play with.
Yeah.
I don't know. You'll get Brad Marchand. Is that how much more expensive is he than John Tavares? And you get someone who's been through these wars and won and has that temperament that I think you prefer.
I if they're going to find a way to figure out to spend some of this money, I would love them to be able to find a veteran puck-moving defenseman.
Yeah. So, okay, hold on. This is what you're totally onto something here, because Chris Kreider got traded yesterday.
Yeah.
Kreider's not the answer for the Leafs for me. He's another 6'4" guy
who
doesn't fight.
What's with the Ducks and the Ranger thing?
I don't know.
Like, they're bringing in, like, the...
The Ducks are like, we'd love to lose in the second round.
That core that, like, famously hated each other and, like, kind of blew up in the city, like, the biggest market. Let's bring them here. Yeah. Like, that's a weird one. Anyways, continue.
But, no, so this is the idea. So, Kreider is a legitimate NHL player who can still help a team. That's out there for the Leafs to get. You don't have to look at the UFA list. So, that's... I like that idea.
To me, you know, Shayna alluded to it, but she said they're going to put Petrangelo on LTIR.
Yeah.
Is he, like, I know he missed the Four Nations for his ailment or whatever it was, but, like...
Would they make him available? Is that...
Yeah, like, are they, if they're looking to free up cap space, like, maybe the Leafs aren't, they don't have a ton of assets to trade from, but maybe it's not as much about the assets as the willingness to take on a full contract. He's a veteran from the area. Just, they need somebody who can snap it back there.
Yeah.
Because I watched so many playoff games where, like, the outlet was either... Tanev picking it up off the board and like chopping it over to McCabe and like off the glass, and they're effective at it.
Yeah.
And they were a good shutdown pair. But give me a guy that can just snap one up there. It was supposed to be Riley and he hasn't done it. So that from to answer your question, whoever that was, I forget who it was that texted me. I would love to see them make a move for a veteran-y, good puck moving defenseman.
You know what is interesting? I like what you're saying about, you know, sometimes teams just want to get off from a contract. Like, and here's one that I'll throw at you. Would Pittsburgh just be like, you take Carlson off our hands. Here's a second rounder with him. Take the contract. You know,
I've had a long-standing personal rivalry with Erik Karlsson, and I really don't think. I mean, he would help in a lot of ways, but hurt you in a lot of ways.
But like watching Seth Jones just got moved in the past season, like, are there players like that looking for a fresh start somewhere? Because you're not finding it in UFA, right? It's just not available.
Okay, here we go. Let's say, if Pickard plays an extra game, if Edmonton wins, does that mark the end of Skinner's time there? Tim from Hamilton.
Has to. Just has to. Like, if you... I know he's had, like, good stretches or whatever, but, like, he has not... You can't put him in. Calvin Pickard, you're choosing him over him.
Listen, Pickard could... play on Saturday night, they could lose.
Yeah.
They could put Stu Skinner back in for game 6 and game 7,
win-win.
Win the cup, and they'd still be looking for somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I really do think at some point, with that core of guys, you can't keep, like, you can't keep putting it together with popsicle sticks. Like, you're...
No.
Pickard, I mean, how many teams has he played for? He was in the AHL last year, right? Or this year, potentially.
Yeah, recently.
It's just... It's insane to me that this is the solution, and the equally as insane thing is that they are tied 2-2.
I know.
Imagine if they had a above average.
Just a guy who stole a game here or there.
And Stu's done that. He's had a few good ones here and there, like he really has, but it's just, even if they win the cup and Stu Skinner plays a game in these next three, I still think you're looking for somebody else.
Yeah. It is one of the most baffling things, like, when I do analysis of this series and of this Oilers team, they almost don't make sense.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, they don't trust the goalie whose numbers are consistently bad and often have to go to the backup. You know, all regular season, you'd have said any of these defensemen make a lot of mistakes. Bouchard does, Nurse does, Klingberg does, you know, go down their lineup to their depth guys.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make mistakes anymore on D.
Yeah.
Which is baffling. The goaltending's not crushed them. They get some depth plays, like that goal last night, the Wallman goal. Janmark's on the forecheck and pokes it free and makes a great goal. Like Podkolzin?
Yes.
Podkolzin.
Jeff Skinner almost scored last night.
Yeah.
Like, it's just they're got these guys all around it that they shouldn't be having this success.
Like, hey, Hyman's not in the series. Kane's down to the fourth line.
Yeah.
You know, and yet these guys they baffle me. So give Knobloch some credit too. Give the superstars a lot of credit.
Hey boys, how about a trade to get Jason Robertson out of Dallas? Mm-hmm. John Muskoka.
Okay. Is that, are we talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I would imagine from John and Muskoka is alluding to the Toronto Maple Leafs. No.
Would they want Nick Robertson in return?
I don't think I want a bigger Nick.
Well, you'd take it over current Nick.
I would. I would. But
Didn't Jason score 50? He did score 50.
I think he scored 50.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a... I think, here's what I'll say about him. Yeah. I think he would fit right in with the playoffs.
Oh, God, is that just the perfect... You nailed it.
I think he'd fit right in.
He is 6'3", 201 pounds. He gets about 20 PIMs a year. He had a 46-goal, 109-point season. Boy, his last 2 years, not great. 82 games played in both seasons, 29 and 35 goals, although he had 41 and 46 in the years before.
Playoff numbers. This year, he scored two against the Oilers late in the series, right?
Yeah, but he had 6 points in 11 games. Like, not awesome. Four of them were goals. The year before, he had 16 points in 19 playoff games.
Really?
The year before, he had 18 points in 19 playoff games.
Really? Well, those numbers are... Yeah. Maybe.
At that age, you take a chance for sure, dude. He's 6'3", 201, 25 years old and scored 40-plus twice.
This is kind of part of the Marner conversation where, you know... Everybody's like, oh, you can't trade him. Oh, you can't trade him. But, like, what if you can?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you just need a material shakeup of your team that you're not going to get by trading somebody that's a lesser person. And this thought is what got the Leafs stuck in this situation where they're about to lose a really great, quote-unquote, asset for absolutely nothing, where it's like, well, you can't trade Marner. You can't trade Nylander. You can't trade Matt. It's like, well, what if you had just done it?
But you know
then what would have happened?
But a lot of what this is and why that doesn't happen is...
fear.
Yes. You can make mistakes as a general manager, mm-hmm. and you can survive. Every GM makes mistakes. It's no big deal.
Okay.
You can't make a mistake with one of the game's 20 best players in the game's biggest market and survive it. Like, Kyle Dubas, I think, had he had the opportunity... Remember Colorado? He almost had that job.
That is a... fascinating one.
And they didn't let him take it?
They didn't let him take it. They blocked him.
Shanny blocked it.
Mm-hmm.
And he harbored some ill will towards Shanny after that and probably had something to do with how they ended up where they ended up.
The influence on maybe letting Lou go a year or two before they probably should have let him go.
I feel like they owe him the job because they denied him one. It's a fascinating what if too. But had he had the opportunity to be somewhere other than Toronto, I know for a fact he would have done more of what he wanted to do, more of this creative, you know, let's try five forwards on the ice at the same time, you know, five on five, let's try. Like, he wanted to do different things.
Total hockey?
But here, not that. But here, he knew that it was just, you can't survive it. Yeah. The media noise is too much. And my point with that is, you don't want to take the risk here in Toronto. Here, GMs don't, even if they should have.
Were you shocked how close the Hart Trophy was between Hellebuck and Draisaitl, Borny, from a nameless texter?
Super shocked. In fact, no disrespect to Connor Hellebuck because he had an awesome year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Steve Valiquette has a lot of numbers that talks about Hellebuck. Yep. And Hellebuck had a great season, but he didn't overperform his situation. In fact, he mildly underperformed the spot they put him in. So... I didn't think that was a Hart Trophy season. I think I voted for either McKinnon Draisaitl or Draisaitl McKinnon. One, two. I had to forget the order. I have to lump it out there.
I would have gone Draisaitl.
I think I did Draisaitl.
Just quickly, I think we got to go here soon. But Draisaitl, again, in a story of Sammy McKee being a bozo, I brought up, remember, when was it that I brought up on Game Time about
Connor McDavid? $2,400.
Well, I was like, oh, Connor McDavid's going to be the Conn Smythe regardless if the Oilers win. I don't know if that's true. Draisaitl now on Bet365 is ahead of Connor McDavid.
So yesterday I did this.
Yesterday.
And McDavid was +500 and Draisaitl was +1,200.
No.
Yes.
Sam Bennett is +150, still the favorite. Leon Draisaitl +250.
He was +1,200 yesterday.
Well, I guess when you score the most overtime goals in the history of a playoff run, you might win the MVP trophy of that puts that playoff run.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure,
Justin.
Filling
in the Kipper seat. Big thanks to Shayna Goldman for her time. Thanks to the Panthers and Oilers, the gift that keeps on giving. And we will see you all on Monday.